Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. I'm so excited every time for our praise reports. So thank you, Lord. All right. So I'm going to open this up with a word of prayer. Turn with me to 2 Timothy, and then I have some things to share before we go to that passage, some visions that the Lord had given me that I want to share to help us really pray over our youth in the coming days. So again, that we'll go to 2 Timothy in just a little bit. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to come before you tonight. And I ask, Lord God, that you would come and that we would experience your presence, not only in this message, but Lord, as we pray, as we seek your face on behalf of our nation. I pray that you would settle things around us so that we can focus on what you have for us tonight. And we would accomplish all that you have asked us to accomplish during our time together. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you. In your precious name, amen. So, over the course of the last year, the Lord has really, I mean, it's been ongoing, as you know, I have had such a burden for our youth, and especially in this fight against abortion. But particularly the last couple years, and then really, really intensely this last year, the Lord's put such a strong burden on my heart for the youth and their place in our nation. And it's so intense, really, at times that all I can do is cry out for them. And I experienced that a couple times this week. And so I'm going to share that with you and what he showed me and what I believe he's wanting us to do about that as we move forward tonight. So this first one was on the 13th. And so I was praying over the youth, and my heart was deeply grieved because I do see such apathy and fear and depression and anxieties and, honestly, outright rebellion in our midst. And so I'd been praying for them, and I went to the Psalms and started declaring them over our children. And this warrior anointing welled up within me to fight for them. And I was reading through Psalms 113 to 118. And these are the Hallel Psalms, the ones that the Israelites read at Passover. And our Lord even would have sung these with his disciples at the Last Supper. But they speak of victory over the enemy and how God miraculously moved mountains and parted the seas for them as they traversed into the promised land. So this is what I saw over our youth, is that they are in their wilderness season, but God is about to part the seas and move the mountains so that they too can enter into the promises of God for their lives. I had a vision of the older generation running ahead and the younger generation, the Samuel generation that I've been referring to since 2019, and they were following behind, way behind in this vision. But I saw the young people suddenly step forward, and they rose up out of their fear, their anxiety, their apathy and rebellion, and with this determination, and almost like their chins were just set forward. They stepped forward. They stood upright. Their eyes were bright, and they reached forward to accept their baton like we were running in this relay race. They represent the Samuel generation that is rising. The older generation had the baton in their hands, and on the baton was written their callings. And, you know, prophet and pastor and intercessor, teacher, evangelist, worshiper, and so on. They'd carried their baton and for years desired to prepare the next generation for that calling, but to no avail. Now, the Samuel generation were activated, and they stepped forward, and they grabbed hold of that baton that held their destiny, and they began to run. And when they did, they stepped into a maturity that I haven't seen in our youth before. And I noticed these cracks in the land that represented wounding and fracturing. And as the youth would run across them, those cracks would start to fill up. They would approach mountains, and those mountains would begin to move to the side. They raced through them, picking up even more speed. They approached rivers, and the rivers began to part to make way for this new thing to take place in the land. The youth were taking the land for the kingdom of God. They released the wonder of God's will, and his ways permeated their being. They ran faster, harder, like never before, as they pursued life and liberty for the nation, their generation, and their posterity. Families came forth, and they passed down the lessons they learned to their children. The song of deliverance went forth into and over the youth, and it began to ripple across the land. I could hear the psalms sung in the heavenlies, and there was healing in them that served as an antiseptic to the wounds produced from the fracturing of the last several years. And then this stability and strength replaced the chaos and the cowardice within their generation. It was so remarkable to see their eyes burn with a fire and passion that had been hidden within them, just waiting for this moment of activation. They were lost. Yeah. But soon, soon, they're going to be found. And that ended. And it was such a profound vision that played before my eyes. And I continued to pray over this and pray for their activation. And as I seek the Lord for our youth, you know, I ask him what these barriers are. And so I'm going to share tonight some barriers to this generation stepping into their call. Because I believe we need to grab hold of these barriers, and we need to pray them through on their behalf. Because what our youth are going to do in the coming days will surpass what we've done. We've been trailblazers, but what they're going to do will surpass it because we've blazed the trail before them. It's going to be, we're going to stand back, and really, we're going to stand in awe when we witness it. And I honestly, and I'm sure you would agree with me, we don't want to see anything stand in the way of this. Nothing. So a couple days after this, maybe almost a week, I was praying over the barriers to this, the passing of the baton and them receiving the baton. I was praying over barriers. And as I was praying, I was thinking about the vision the Lord had given me of him weeping and sweeping across our land. I shared that a few weeks ago. It's on our website if you haven't heard that. And so I was pondering that. And the burden to prepare this generation for that, to be a part of the leaping and the sweeping and the retaining and maintaining of the work that we've accomplished through the intercession over the last 25 years, you know, it's just consistently on my heart. And so on Wednesday, I was praying over them. And again, I went to the Word to read some Psalms and Proverbs over them. And I was reading through Proverbs, and I felt the Lord telling me to begin declaring the Proverbs over our youth, to call them into this place of wisdom and understanding in Him. In the book of Proverbs, son is referred to some, I think it's like 57 or 58 times, with about 30 of those being a personal reference to my son. And some of these Proverbs are believed to be passed down from David to Solomon, who then passed them to his sons, as well as those employed in the work of the temple and the work of even building his house. He would pass the Proverbs of Solomon down to the generation. Solomon, like his father, was not just a king, but he was a father to his nation, imparting wisdom from heaven above into his people, as well as, like I said, those employed in the work on the temple grounds and in his own home. And as we know, rulers came from far and wide to hear the wisdom of Solomon, but he was imparting them to everyone in his midst. And this, we cannot forget, is our call as well, to impart wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the heavenly things to this ne next generation. In fact, it's not just our responsibility as, I don't want to say elders in the body of Christ, because I wouldn't, I would consider mom an elder, right, in the body of Christ. But as those that are more mature in Christ, we should be imparting these things. But America is called to be a father to the nations. And, as of late, it's failed quite a bit in that calling. But as I said, the Lord is weeping and sweeping across the nation to prepare it to fulfill this call once again. So the work that we need to do in preparation has to deal with the barrier between the nations. And so as I read through those Proverbs, I had a vision of the two generations. And so there was and the two generations were the ones that were over 40 and the ones that were under 40. And they were on a staircase, like the ones we see in two-story school houses, back east in, California. Ours are all like single level, but in back east, it snows and stuff. And so there are two stories back there. And so it goes up 10 or 12 stairs, and then there's a landing, and then going the opposite direction, it goes up another 10 or 12 stairs, and then you're in on the second floor. And so the younger generation was on the lower portion, the older generation was on the higher portion of that. But the younger generation was looking, and I don't know, there was this continuous speed going up. So, but the younger generation was looking up to the older generation, and the older generation was glancing down at them, but not really paying much attention to them. There was a barrier that went across the stairwell. It was clear, but it was distorted, kind of like looking through really thick ice. And the younger generation just kept looking up toward the older generation with an eagerness in their eyes. But the barrier between them prevented communication from getting through. And this communication involves the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding and the revelation, all necessary impartations from one generation to the next, from passing down. And so I asked the Lord what the barrier was. And as he spoke, I really began to weep. And I'm going to try to share this without crying through the whole thing. Because my heart was really broken with what he shared. So I'm going to say some things that might they might upset some people, but I'm asking for some grace to convey what the Lord shared with me so that we can pray through this barrier and we can gain the victory necessary to bring healing and pave the way for reconciliation and restoration of our commission to sow into our posterity. Our posterity needs to have what we have to give them. But we're a part of the barrier. The over 40 is part of the barrier to them receiving. The barrier that I saw occurred between Generation X, which is my generation, and Generation Y, as they're more frequently referred to as millennials. And that's my children's generation. So I'm at the very, you know, tail end of Generation X, and like my oldest is at the very end of the millennials. So the barrier was between Generation X and Generation Y. And these are before these Generation X is born between 79, and the millennials are born around 1980s. And so based on what the Lord shared with me, I did some research because he told me to look into the events that were taking place at this time. And so, you know, there's a big educational gap. You know, Generation X is the highest educated generation so far in the last 100 years, and millennials are the least educated generation so far. There was a tremendous decline between these two generations in moral values. In fact, during this period, we experienced one of the greatest moral declines since the sex, drugs, and rock and roll of the 60s. And I believe this gap between the generations is a byproduct of removing God from our schools, which occurred in the 60s. The introduction and implementation of seeker-friendly churches, which began in the 50s and 60s and really peaked in the early 70s. And then, of course, legalizing abortion. And so we have to look at this from the perspective of it takes time for the events that are taking place and the real consequences of those events to roll out in the land. You know, you remove God and prayer from the schools in the 60s, and, you know, we know what happened in the 60s. I mean, you know, throughout the 60s. And then you have the seeker-friendly churches, which they really, the largest one started, I believe it was in Illinois. I think it was in Willow Creek, Illinois, in 71. And that was really the introduction of a massive amount of just watered-down gospel. That's what it was. It was feel-good, you know, inspirational messages that had nothing to do with the Word of God. And then you have abortion that is legalized. And so, but we don't see the effects of these things really roll out for a few years. The Bible talks about God visiting the iniquity of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. And one of the reasons for that is because, you know, your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren are going to experience the effect of your sin. And so we have to remember this when we're doing things. We have, you know, if you read back through the Old Covenant, you know, you read through Abraham and his remembrance of and his adherence to the promise of the covenant. When he took steps and when he made decisions and in his life, he remembered the promises of God. And he looked to the promises of God, whether it was his lineage, whether it was the land, whichever of those promises God was bringing forth, He held on to those promises. He passed those promises down to Isaac, who then passed that promise down to Jacob, who then passed that promise down to his sons. They didn't see the fulfillment of that until Jacob and, you know, his sons were gone. You know, that was a few hundred years. But they still held on to the promises of God. They looked to the covenant as given by God to Abraham, their father, for all those years. And they looked to that throughout the generations. And we look back to that when Christ came. And that's our salvation. We've moved into such a temporal time frame. We live in a microwave society, and we don't look past that. You know, if our dinner takes longer than 2 minutes, if it takes longer than 10 seconds for that text or email to send, if our dinner, you know, we can't push a button and have it done in 2.5 minutes and have it on our plate, you know, we'll just get in a car and drive 10 minutes to go pick something up. We've lost sight of longevity, and we've lost sight of preparing for the future and preparing a nation and preparing our posterity to carry on the promises of God until his return. We should be looking to preparing each generation to look for his return, not stop and stay stagnant, but look to his return and prepare the next generation for his return. We don't relent or relinquish our responsibility in our nation because we're looking for his return. We stay the course. In Luke, he says, occupy until I come. That means occupy and influence the land until I come. Occupy and influence where I've placed you, whether it's in the school, whether it's in the government, whether it's in the banking industry, the medical industry, your church, your community, wherever you are, occupy until he comes back and influence that realm that God has placed you with righteousness. Influence it, bringing forth the kingdom of heaven in your arena, because the church is the heart of the nation. And the influence of the church is supposed to penetrate every part of the nation with every heartbeat. Think of it as truly a body. And as the heart beats, as the church beats, and the blood courses through the body, we are releasing life into the nation by our presence, by our decisions, by spreading the word, by preparing the next generation to pick up the baton and run. That's our responsibility. When the word and when prayer was taken out of our schools, one woman got offended. She was an angry woman here in California. She got offended because she walked by a classroom and heard a prayer. Her son came home and told her about that they'd said a prayer. And it was, I think it's like 12 words. She stormed down to the school, and this set in motion the ending of prayer in schools. Where was the church? Where were the Christians? Our voice should have been louder than hers. When they took the Bible out of the school, same situation. One person got offended. Where was the church? Where were the Christians? Our responsibility is to breathe life into our country and to help our posterity, the next generation, see God in every aspect of their lives and cling to the promise of His return. Not set up camp, but cling to the promise and continue to occupy until He comes. When abortion was legalized in our country, it took time for it to pick up steam. But in 1980, 1981, when Reagan took office, abortion reached its peak in our country. Incidentally, this is a period the millennials were being born. And in 1981, Reagan, who was incredibly pro-life, Reagan, Bush Jr., and President Trump were the most pro-life presidents in our history. When he took office, he began to fight for the life of the children, the life of our pre-born citizens, really. But when he took office, abortions had peaked to such a level that in some states, out of every 100 pregnancies, 50% ended in abortion. Half. Half of the millennials generation is not here because it ended in abortion. Think about that. This is like a twin, you know, that's in the womb, twins, and one dies before they're born. And these two come out, you know, and maybe that other twin, the living twin, never knew about the twin or did know. Either way, the vacancy is present, and it's always felt through that child's life into adulthood. And the ache in that twin is always present. Spiritually speaking, this is what happens in a generation when up to half of their generation that was supposed to be there with them is missing. And this ache begins to swell within them. And they don't even understand it. I was sharing this story with my oldest daughter, sharing what the Lord showed me and sharing the facts I found. And she has a friend who's dealt with depression for most of her life. Severe anxiety. And as I shared this, she said, I wonder if that's why she has dealt with all of that. And I said, why? She said, because she was a twin and her sister died before she was born. And I thought about this friend. I've known her for like 14 years. And I just began to think about her life, and it made perfect sense. So think about that across that generation. You think, well, a twin and the generation, it's not the same. It is the same. The connection is there. And because one generation aborted half of the next generation, we have these young people that are apathetic. We call them basement dwellers because they have no focus, no purpose, no drive. But all of the circumstances surrounding their entrance into adulthood have created this recipe for their deep grief. We are frustrated with them because they are not focused and not coming up out of it. And yet they are grieving and looking for us to give them hope, to give them wisdom and knowledge and understanding and purpose, to give them the revelation of the only hope that can pull them out of the pain that they feel over the loss of their generation. And because we're so frustrated with the condition of this generation, we're just going to move on and look to the following generation. Or just ignore it altogether. That's what the Lord showed me in that vision. Because that generation climbing those stairs were looking to that older generation for answers, for education, for hope, for purpose, for destiny. And that older generation was ignoring them. And then my heart broke. My heart absolutely broke. Because spiritually speaking, the bloodletting over our nation has impacted them in such great measure. And we cannot give up on them. We simply cannot give up on them. We've got to pull them up. We've got to extend our hand to them and give them hope and impart to them the wisdom that God has given us, even if they struggle with hearing it. They need to hear it. So, I want to share that in the coming weeks, and I'm not finished because I do have some things to share about what we can do, and then I want to talk about Timothy. But in the coming weeks, I'm going to look into in greater measure, because part of this agenda, abortion, getting prayer out of schools, and apathy, watered down church, all of this, part of this is the communist agenda, the 45 goals of communism. It's on our website. You can type it in, worldforjesus.org, and type in 45 communist goals, and it'll come up. It's in English, Korean, and Chinese. So you can find it. And I'm going to dig into that, and we're going to be praying over that, and I'm going to be sharing and elaborating on this, because it is part of an agenda that was released in our nation to weaken the church, because they knew they could never have America as long as the church was standing strong. And so they weakened intentionally the nation through the church. And there's several ways that this was done, and I know that my time is ticking, so I will expound on this in the coming probably next week. But as I move on, I want to give us some things that we can do now. And what we do as a ministry, if you've been with us for any length of time, you know and understand. The first thing is to continue our repentance and intercession. We've been praying and repenting over abortion for, over 2 decades, and praying over the things that have been done in our nation and through our nation's history and the bloodletting and the sins that the Lord has revealed. We've been engaging in this for now, a quarter of a century. I wrote that down and thought, this is amazing, the longevity of a prayer movement to save a nation and the call and the commission of God that He gave to Mom to do this. I see the wisdom in that call and how important it's more important today than it ever has been. And I thank Him that we have been trained and equipped for this hour because some of our biggest battles lay ahead. We need to vote. The second thing, we need to vote. We're talking about the elections. Daryl was just sharing some things about what took place in Arizona, right? Arizona. God is exposing what took place there. It's taken 3.5 years for that exposure to really come out. But we've got to vote, and we have to vote in accordance with God's word. We have to vote for pro-life candidates, and we have to read the propositions that are on our ballots because they are going to introduce propositions to legalize abortion and make it a constitutional right in many states in our country. And we need to pray against that, and we need to vote against it, and we need to be aware of which proposition it is on our ballots. 3 states in 2022 passed propositions to legalize abortion at the constitutional level, at their state constitution, make it a constitutional right, rather. And so we've got to be aware of that because they word it, they're very tricky about it. It's all about reproductive rights, and it has nothing to do with reproduction and everything to do with ending reproduction in the land. So you've got to be aware of that. Do your research. The third thing, we've got to wake up to the reality of our actions on the nation. Just as I shared a few minutes ago, our actions have long-term consequences, and we have to be aware of that and to take into consideration what we're doing, decisions we're making for our families, decisions we're making as a body of Christ, what we are doing impacts the next generation and the next to the third and fourth generation. Remember that in the things that you do, the choices you make. It's important that we make righteous decisions. The fourth thing, we've got to consider the spiritual ramification of abortion, which I talked in depth about just a minute ago. The fifth thing, we've got to consider the fact that we have been involved in a carefully crafted destabilization of an entire generation. That's what's taken place with the millennials. They have been destabilized. And that's how they plan to try to take over the country. Because the generations after that, although they are stronger, our posterity has really been weakened. And so we've got to consider that, extend great grace and patience with them, and help bring them up because God is going to catch them up. If we will sow into their lives these words of wisdom and our intercession, decree and declare scriptures over them, God is going to catch them up. And number six, I think I'll skip over that. Number seven, and I'll send this out to you guys so you guys can have these things. Number seven, we need to really swallow our pride. We don't like to admit that we've done things wrong that are impacting our posterity, but you can't read through the Bible and not recognize our impact on a nation, because you can look at the life of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, his lineage. You can look at the life of the kings and see how their lives impacted the nation of Israel. You cannot deny it. And even with Hezekiah, the Lord told him what was going to happen, because he, even after God healed him, he opened up the treasures of the temple and showed it to the king that came in. And what did Isaiah say? Well, because you did that, guess what's going to happen? They're going to come and they're going to take it all. But it won't happen in your lifetime. It'll happen in your sons. And sure enough, it did. And so, we have to remember the things we do impact. And we've got to swallow our pride and really lay things before God and get his wisdom and his direction on what we do. And then number eight, we need to strengthen the moral fiber of the church. As I said, part of the Communist Manifesto was to tear down the moral fiber of the church. If they could weaken the church, the heart, that which the blood courses to the rest of the nation, if they could weaken that, they could take the nation. And, they really have weakened the church. But God is raising up a new breed of believers. And I see the church rising up in greater measure than ever in my lifetime. And I am very excited about that. So we will continue to pray for the church, for them to rise up. So let's look at Timothy, and I'm going to go through this really quickly. This is going to be the shortest overview you've ever seen or heard on a book of the Bible. And I'm going to go through the whole book right now. And so the book of Timothy was written, 2 Timothy was written by Paul to Timothy to hand the baton, to hand his call, his commission over the churches over to Timothy. Because Paul knew his life was coming to an end, he was about to be martyred, and he was going to pass the baton. So I'm going to tell you the seven steps that Paul gave to Timothy so that he could effectively take that baton and prepare the next generation. First thing, 2 Timothy 1:6, he said, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee." We've got to continue to stir up the gift of God that's within us. Whatever that gift is, we've got to stir it up. We've got to stir up our hunger and our thirst for the Word of God. We've got to stir up within us our call and commission and our part in the church and in the nation. We can't become apathetic. We've got to continue to engage, and that entails stirring up the gift of God that is within us. Number two, this comes from 2 Timothy 1:13. We've got to hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard in me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. We've got to remember the word of the Lord. That calls us to be anchored in his word and stay in his word every single day. And we've got to hold fast to the words the Lord gives us. He speaks to us prophetically so that we can release those things over our nation and our posterity. Hold fast. That means cling to them. Cling to them. Because they matter. God gives it for a reason. Number three, 2 Timothy 2:2. Says, "And the thing that thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." The Amplified says, "Transmit and entrust as a deposit to reliable and faithful men who will be confident and qualified to teach others also. Entrust what I've given you to other faithful men." And that is passing the baton. Passing the baton. Whatever God has put within you, you pass that baton to the next generation. Number four, 2 Timothy 2:3, share the hardships and the suffering that you're called to endure as a soldier in Christ. We cannot be afraid to suffer for the commission. We're soldiers. And we often run from suffering. We cannot be afraid to suffer. Look at what President Trump has gone through. Look at what the J6 defendants have gone through. Political prisoners, that's what they are. And the many others that stand with them, how they've been persecuted for our nation. We cannot be afraid to be persecuted for righteousness. Number five, we've got to study to show ourselves approved unto God, and that's 2 Timothy 2:15. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Number six comes from 2 Timothy 3:1b and 14. Know that in the last days perilous times are going to come. And verse 14, hold to the things that you have learned. Hold fast again to the things that you've learned. Know that it's going to be difficult, and when the pressure is on, hold on to the promises of God and the lessons that you've learned through the Word, through our ministry, and so on. And number seven, herald and preach the Word. Now, that's pretty self-explanatory. So that's 2 Timothy. In a nutshell, stir up the gift, hold on to the sound words, entrust unto others what God has put in you, share in the hardships and the suffering, study to show yourself approved, know that perilous times are going to come, and hold on to the promises, and then herald and preach the word. So what do we have to look forward to if we take these steps? And I'm going to close with this. And I'm going to share this. This is a dream the Lord gave me November of 2022. And it was a revelation through the Word. This is on our website. You can see it's in its entirety. But I'm going to share just this brief portion of it because I feel like it's very important for what the Lord has given me for tonight. I was living in an apartment complex, and my apartment was right in the center of the complex. And when I woke up in the morning, there were people, I went to get my coffee, and there were people like looking in my windows, waiting for my lights to come on. And they were so excited when they saw the lights come on. They were jumping up and down. And the Lord brought in several generations and several people groups in through this. They cycled in. But the group I want to talk to you about are the young people. When they came in, they were coming in with their Bibles, and as they held their Bibles out, they would ask me about passages in the Word of God, and I would explain those passages. And each day they would come, and they would continue to ask me, but I would notice that the Scripture was literally, it was like it was missing from their Bible, like whole Bible verses, several Bible verses. And I asked the Lord, what's going on here? And he said, they're consuming my word. They're consuming my word. Because you're depositing it in them. They are consuming it. His word is life. His word is light. When those children looked me in the eye, light shone from their eyes because they had been so filled up with his word, so transformed by his word that they were emanating the light of the living God. This is what God is going to bring. If we will be willing to face the tough stuff like I talked about, to really stand in the gap for the generation that is looking to us for wisdom, and prepare them to take that baton and finish this race, their portion of this race. If we're willing to do that, what's going to come of them is the next generation. It'll be a revolution, a revival of the Word of God, and children who will hunger and thirst for the Word above all else, so much so that His light will emanate from them. That's the promise of God, and that's what we have to look forward to. If we will diligently, really seriously take what He's shown us and pray it through to victory. Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You for what You showed me. I thank You, Lord, for these precious intercessors that so love the children, that so love our nation, and desire to see the victories that You've promised come through. I ask that You would help us to take what You've shown us and really chew on it, really let it sink in. And over the course of the next few weeks, as we unpack the things that the elite have done to try to destroy our nation and pray those things through, oh God, in preparation for the coming months, that they'll be ready to stay the course and embark on this journey with us to uproot the corruption and prepare the next generation for Your will, Your ways, and honestly, their healing and the freedoms, oh God, that You want to bring them. I thank You, Lord. In Your precious name, amen. Thank You, Daryl.
Ricky.
Yes.
Honey, I wanted to say one other thing that we didn't discuss this morning. When they started the abortion purge, that released the spirit of murder over this nation in an unprecedented degree. You take the blood of the innocent babies and you stretch that across the nation, giving the legal right for spirits of murder to come in and inhabit this nation like crazy. You're going to see and experience exactly what we experienced. So although a child may not know why it's grieving, maybe they never even told the surviving twin why they were grieving, that they had a twin that died. They're suffering from the spiritual realm that was brought into the nation through our sin. So it's a very real thing. They may not understand it, but all of us should understand it. It's a very real spiritual phenomena. And I think that we need to spend some time praying. We've got other people praying for abortion today. And after we've done all of our prayers for abortion, tonight before we hang up, we need to come against that blanket of gunk that was released into this nation through their sin. That's
Amen.
all.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mom. Thank you for sharing that. Amen.